Well, it's good morning and welcome to The Value of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. And as promised this morning, I said we were going to talk about how to prepare for university, preparing for university. You know, university actually swallows people alive and kicks and spits them out, and some never recover from that experience. And so on the line, I've invited the former education manager of the Institute Chartered Accountant of Zimbabwe, and she is a chartered accountant herself, and that is Sibongile Vuma. Good morning to you, Sibongile.
Good morning, Tammy. How are you doing?
I am fine, and thank you very much for accepting our invite.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege and honor to join you today.
Thank you. And tell me, when you were within that education space, within the chartered accountants' space, training chartered accountants and getting them to write exams, were the lessons that you learned about, you know, people coming in from university and getting into a professional setup? You know, I always find it challenging dealing with people coming in from university. It's always like, you know, they're not yet ready, but they also teach you one or two things. Are there any lessons that you remember from that experience?
Yes, thank you so much, Tammy, for that question. I think the major one that I noticed is the element of soft skills.
Okay.
So you'd find that students come through, yes, they've got the requisite academic knowledge. Mm. You know, that is it's up to date. But when it comes to soft skills, things such as, you know, how to relate to people, how to communicate, how to engage in conflict resolution, how to empathize. So those kind of skills, they lack quite a bit. Mm. And so you find that there's a lot of training now that needs to be put in place to bring them to a level where they are able to relate well with their colleagues and also with clients. Because remember, some of these university graduates, they enter into, they are client facing. So some, yes, will be working behind the scenes, and it's only a matter of relating to their colleagues, but others also have to be client facing.
Yeah.
So you can imagine if someone lacks good soft skills, that can be detrimental to the business as a whole.
That's powerful. And I think that's still the same challenge within that education space. But Sibongile, you actually spent, I think, 5 years at university. That's including the honors. I don't know which university you did that. It might have been 6 years. And then you then spent 7 years training to be a CA. Wow. You guys are brave, ne?
Well, I don't know whether to call it bravery, but you know how it is when you've told yourself that, you know, you want to get to a particular goal, you want to be a CA, you know, you've got to keep going. It's not like you can then decide halfway through that, oh, you know what, now I'm done. Let me change goalposts. You've already gone through perhaps 50%, 60%.
Yeah.
So rather finish the race as opposed to letting things go. But yeah, so in my experience, I spent 4 years in university and then 3 years training. So in total, it was seven years for me.
Oh, that's quite interesting. And let's go back. We're talking about challenges in universities, and this year there's 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds applying to be to go to university. Some have been accepted in particular universities. And my question is, do you think that most of these kids are ready for university? Do you think they are ready for university life?
To be honest, Tammy, I don't think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is that, you know, very few parents and even high schools take time to prepare high school students for varsity.
Mm.
And I don't think it's intentional. But I think what happens is, you know, everyone around the students is excited to say, oh, you're going to university. Where are you going? I'm going to UCT. I'm going to Rhodes, or whatever the case may be.
Mm.
And so that excitement, right, then supersedes the need to prepare the student for varsity life. So it's more about the excitement, the joy of this new journey. But nobody ever stops to think, okay, but are you ready? Are you mentally ready for this journey? So you'll find that most students then just dive into the deep end and they try as much as they can to swim and, you know, and learn as they go.
Yeah.
But it's never easy.
But, you know, you said something quite key. You said you mentioned that schools, high schools or universities never prepare. And after all we have seen, you know, happening at universities, why do you think no one has ever sat down and said, let's prepare these kids for university? Where do you think the gap is? Is it that as you say, we're caught up in the excitement, or it's a case of, I don't know whose job, it's somebody else's. It's for the university to prepare these students, and the universities are saying the high school should have prepared them. Why hasn't that happened?
Well, I think other than the point I mentioned earlier about the excitement, I think it's a case of nobody really wants to take up the responsibility. So, you know, naturally the university would expect that what, you know, where you are coming from, you should have been taught about, you know, the challenges or what you can expect at university. And the high school is thinking, wait a minute, but the university is no better.
Yeah.
We are not in that space to begin with. So they know better. Perhaps they should be the ones taking up that responsibility. So it's pretty much a tug of war. No one wants to take on the responsibility. So I think that's what pretty much happens. Like the same way, you know, employers or the workplace expects students or graduates to come through having certain skills, right?
Yeah.
And then the university also says, but hey, wait a minute, we don't offer practical experience here. We hope that you will train the graduate. So I think it's a case of, you know, everyone is saying, no, it's not my part, it's your part. And the other one says, no, it's yours, it's not mine. And we just end up going round and round in circles and not addressing the core issue at hand.
Yeah, that's quite interesting and that's quite sad. But let's then cross over to the university itself. These guys are going to be receiving first years. And you would know, Sibongile, from your experience in varsity, first years are the most vulnerable students, if I may put it that way. They are the most preyed upon. Maybe before I ask my question, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the dangers that these first years face. What kind of dangers are they facing in their first year?
There are so many, Tammy. And like you said, as they come through, they are very vulnerable. And if you think about it, these first years have been in some sort of a bubble.
Yeah.
You know, some people go to schools where perhaps maybe the total population is around about maybe 500, 600. And now you're getting to university and there's like thousands of students. You know, there's so much going on. There's culture shock. You know, things that you hadn't seen back at home or back in high school, and now it's right in your face. So, you know, there's a whole lot of self-discipline that needs to kick in. It's something else, and peer pressure as well. Like, I think that's a major one.
Yeah.
Peer pressure to say, no, come, let's do this, come, let's do that. And so if you are not, you know, if you don't have a good foundation, or if you do not have a definition of who you are, you are likely to go where the wind blows. You know, today we are here and, you know, tomorrow we are there. But so you find that peer pressure is a monster in university.
Yeah. And I think it becomes worse for the girl child. I think it becomes worse for the girl child because, and there's these guys in varsity who think, who actually label the girl child the first years as meat, you know, and...
Absolutely. And so you'll find that, the girl child is obviously then having to deal with sexual harassment, unwanted sexual advances, you know, even things such as being drugged, and then you wake up the next morning, what happened? I don't know. I just remember going to this place. So there's a lot. There's a lot that goes on. And so obviously, you know, from a university point of view, they try, you know, to try and, you know, teach you or inform you about some of these things, but you know, they can't prepare you 100%.
Yeah.
Some of it you've got to also, you know, be mindful of where it is you're going, what it is you're doing. They
Mm.
can't police you 24/7. It's not high school anymore, you know.
Mm,
So you've got to be pretty responsible.
But you survived varsity. What did you do differently in your first year? What did you like? Were you part of the SDA movement at high school, at university? Did you didn't go to parties? You didn't go to all these funny places?
So yeah, I guess some people would have defined me as a party pooper. Yeah, I was. Well, I don't know that say unfortunately or fortunately, but yeah, I was never the party person kind of a student. I don't know whether it's because maybe I was fearful of what could go wrong. But perhaps that's what kept me, I guess, from the drama that could have possibly transpired. So yeah, I was more of a, can I say reserved, perhaps? Yeah, I was more of a reserved student at university. And also, when my first year, I remember I attended All Week. It was called All Week. It was basically an orientation week. So, they taught us about some of these things, about substance abuse, about campus safety, about drugs. And so I guess because I was that reserved, that conservative person, I literally took what they said and I was like, yeah, I've got to keep myself safe out here. So yeah, I wasn't that kind of a student. I was just the kind where on Friday I can get my laptop, order in, and I am watching my movies. That was me. That's university.
And that actually talks to the importance of attending orientation week. Something a lot of people take for granted. They think it's boring. They think it's really not helpful and resourceful.
No, it's absolutely helpful because they teach you a lot more, other than yes, the usual, the tours. But I think they also, for me, I think what I found very useful about OWIC was the issue of my own safety and looking out for myself, because there's no way my lecturers or my warden, can police me or can watch out for me 24/7. So I had to keep my own interest at heart. Like I had to look after myself. So for me, I think that was the one thing that I took out of all week. And you'd find that there, I mean, the pressure is intense. I mean, I had people that would say to me, "Ah, oh, but why are you not coming to this place? Why are you not doing this with us? But you're away from home," things like that, where people are wanting to justify certain activities simply because you're away from home. But yeah, I had to learn to stand my ground and say, you know what, it's not for me, and it's okay. It's okay. It's all right that I don't feel this is for me. So if I have a different way of entertaining myself, then let it be. We are all different.
And you mentioned something quite interesting. You say being away from home. And I remember being away from home. It was a very exciting feeling. No mommy to tell me what to do. And I think that's the biggest challenge that we face as young people, the freedom, because I don't think anything in our lives has prepared us for freedom. Like we always under lock and key. And as a parent yourself, Sibongile, how do you think we can prepare ourselves or prepare our children for the freedom that comes with being at university?
Look, I think it's not easy. I'm a young parent. My kids are both under five. So yeah, but I'm assuming that it's also a matter of discussing some of these things as they grow, especially when they get to high school. Just letting someone know that freedom comes with responsibility. Freedom comes with self-discipline. So freedom doesn't mean you can do anything that you want, however you want. But there's an element of responsibility that comes with that freedom. There's an element of self-discipline that comes with that freedom. So I think engaging in deep conversations with your kids is something that we could do as parents. Because I think particularly, I'm not sure, perhaps now things have changed, but I would like to think that a couple of years ago, maybe 10 or so, 15 years ago, you'd find that those conversations are non-existent. Parents don't or didn't have, that space where they can talk to their kids, engage in deep conversations. It was just more about, you know what, I'm sending you to school, pass your exams, get what you're there for. But we never really spoke about the things that affected us as kids. So I think a good starting point is engagement. Let's talk to our kids. What is going through their minds? What are their challenges? How do we help them? And what is this freedom? What does it mean? How do we make them experience the freedom or help them experience the freedom in a manner that still promotes responsibility and self-discipline?
Powerful, powerful. But and I think that's quite key, the parents talking to the children at home. And you know, I for one have been just trying to do something around freedom with my kids. The eldest, I've been giving her a tablet and I've been saying, here's a tablet. Let's see how you manage it and how you use it. And every time she doesn't manage it, there's a properly there's a reward for that. And every time she manages it properly, there's a reward for that. And I think we can train our children in different ways to realize that there's a way there's consequences to everything that we do. And I quickly want, before we go to the second half of our conversation, which talks about the university life itself, the issue of managing your finances at university level, because maybe you might be staying at campus, and you might just be traveling to campus, but whichever way, it means that there should be a level of financial maturity that one has. How did you navigate that one, Sibongile? Being the you were given a sum of money, now you have to budget it, you have to make sure it stretches right up until you get the next lump of money.
Okay. So for me, I wouldn't say it was difficult. So I'm the kind of person who plans ahead, right? So what I would do is that whatever allowance I got in that particular month, I would make sure that at least I have toiletries that will last me a good 2 months. Why is that? In the event that for whatever reason, I do not get an allowance in a particular month, at least I have something, to get by. So it allows me that leeway to say, okay, fine, there were challenges back at home, but you know what, I can still get through the month. And then another thing that I did was I would set aside money for a rainy day, as my lecturer would call it. So yeah, this is where you just put something aside, whatever little, just put aside. So that in the event that your family or your sponsor cannot send you anything, you still have something to use. Because I think that the challenge with university students, especially in first year, that you like this whole idea of spending and spending and spending. Because when you're at home, your parents look out for you. They buy your toiletries, they buy your groceries, they like everything is done for you. And so now you now have money in your hands, and because you're not used to budgeting, you're not used to spending responsibly, you just keep buying it, whatever. This is in fashion, you're up for it, there's a new whatever, and you're buying it. So for me, that's what I did. It was saving and just making sure that whatever I do, I'm always a month ahead, just in case something happens at home. And another thing, that I did, I got a part-time job on campus. I actually had two. And so, but when I got my second one, I then let go of my first one. So I think it's something for students to think about, to say, okay, what can I do on campus, that can make me a little bit of some money, So you don't have to restrict yourself to what you get from home or from your sponsor. But you can also explore other ways. So I was a tutor, and I was also a sub warden, And other than the financial benefit that I got from these jobs, but these jobs also taught me interpersonal skills. Like they taught me how to relate to people, And so that's a skill that we take for granted. But guess what? When you're done with your degree and you're in the workplace, those are the skills now that come in handy. So it's you these and there are other benefits as well, other than just the financial benefit of getting a job on campus.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Sibongile Vuma, who is the former education manager of the Institute of Chartered Accountants of Zimbabwe. That's a department that looks at the examinations element of things and many other things. And we're talking about, students going to university. You know, when you're in the exam space, the word candidate always pops up, but we call them student, or you would call them learners. And so we're going to be putting this up on our podcast platform. If you want to find out, if you want to prepare your child for university, there's so many 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds who will be going to university next year. So how do you prepare them? And how do they prepare themselves? What is it that they can do at varsity to make sure they don't fall prey to the first year syndrome, I want to call it? Sibongile, let's talk about the first year academically. And I remember when I went into my first year, we started off our stream. They could only take 100 students per stream. And I remember that when we went into our second year, there was only 45 of us who were eligible to return back for the second year, because the rule was that you could not fail even one module. And I think academically, I think a lot of people are caught unawares in the first year, how important and critical the first year is academically.
It is very critical because, you know, that is the foundation of everything.
Yeah.
And so you've got to ensure that you position yourself, right, in a manner that ensures that you can pull through right to the end.
Yeah.
And so one of the ways, or some of the things that you can do as a first year student, is number one, simple things like attending your lectures. Mm. You'll find that, I don't know for one reason or the other, but people are convinced that they do not have to attend all their lectures.
Yeah.
So you'll find that perhaps maybe someone, if you've got lectures Monday to Friday, someone will think, oh, okay, maybe I'll just go for 3 lectures this week, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not it. Because the minute you start skipping lectures, the minute you start skipping tutorial sessions, the minute you don't hand in all your tutorial handling, the minute you don't exert yourself enough in terms of the assignments, what are you doing? You are creating gaps, right? And now those gaps are going to be very difficult to cover up or to close. So it's important to ensure that you do the basics, at least attend your lectures, you know, do your tutorials, hand in your tutorials, do your assignments thoroughly, because that way it's all contributing to the bigger picture, i.e. your exams.
Yes.
You know, so you can't afford to choose what you want to do and what you don't want to do, because whatever you decide, it's got consequences.
Mm. That's quite interesting and quite key. And the adaptation to the academic intensity. I don't know. I've been thinking about this for quite a number of years, to say what helps a person to adapt to the academic intensity at varsity? Because it's a shock to the system. I had the benefit of saying, when I wanted to go to university, there's a particular course that I wanted to do. And they said to me, no, you the best thing that you've got to do is you've got to go for a National Foundation Certificate, which allowed me in a way to gently and slowly go through and get to a point where now I was eligible to study the course that I wanted. But for some people, it's voila, you've got the opportunity to go straight for that course. And there's nothing that prepares you for that intensity. Because one thinks that because you're in varsity, it's easy, you know, it's easy going, because your lecture, there's one tutorial that starts maybe at 8 o'clock and ends at 10. Then the next one is at 1 o'clock, ending at 2. And people think it's easy sailing. But the preparation for that academic intensity is key.
It's very key, Tammy. And I think for me, what I would say is, whatever course you decide to take on, right, you've got to, I think, at the top of the list, you've got to understand the expectations, right, that the lecturers have, expectations and also the objectives. Like, what is it that I must be able to do at the end of this module? Okay. Is it that I'm supposed to be able to calculate something?
Yeah.
Should I be able to discuss something?
Yeah.
Should I be able to interpret data, or you know, You've got to know what the end result is. And once you know what the end result is, you are then able to adapt your study style, your learning style to suit what? Those expectations.
Yeah.
So it's important to understand where you want to go or what the end result is. And then you try and work backwards to say, okay, so how do I position myself to attain what the lecturer has said I should be able to do? So, for example, you know, if something requires, if the expectation is that you should be able to calculate, then it means you need to what? Do more of practice questions, because that's how you improve the art of a calculation, right?
Yeah.
But if it is, you also need to be able to interpret the data, or to interpret the result of the calculation. Now that's deeper. You now need to understand that, okay, what is this? I've calculated something. What does this ratio mean, for example?
Yeah.
You know, it's good enough to be able to know how to do it, but what does it mean? You know, so I think for me, that's what's critical. It's understanding where you want to get, and then now drafting a roadmap of how do I get to that point.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Sibongile Vuma, we used to work in the same space. So she's now giving you tips on how to prepare for an exam. So I'm actually going to invite her one of these days to come to and talk to us about how to prepare for an exam. And I know a lot of us fail exams. Man, exams are showing us flames out there. Count me in those flames also. So we'll be inviting the gurus in this space. But as we continue with this conversation, Sibongile, let's... And you say something that's quite key. You talk about focusing on what is it that you need to achieve. And here's the mistake that I see a lot of people making. A lot of people go into studies focusing on what the profession that they're studying for will be paying them. And that actually, for me, disturbs and distorts your focus on what is it that you need to achieve. Because my thought process around this, Sibongile, is this. I want to earn 2 million per annum. I want to earn 3 million per annum. But let me first master what will enable me to earn 3 million, what will make me very good within the field and the space that I'm going into. The focus on the payslip is a challenge at Varsity.
Yeah, it is. It is a major one. But I think just to take you back, Tammy, I think for me, what is important is, yes, I mean, the reason why we go to university is obviously to get degrees so we can get employed, so we get a job and make lots and lots of money, right?
Yeah.
But I think at the very beginning, right, there's got to be something that's driving you towards that profession. So are you passionate about it?
All right.
Because guess what? If you're being driven by the money, right?
Yeah.
What if you find yourself in industry or at a workplace, but you're not making the amount of money that you thought you were going to make? And you know, things change, right? What if when you started university, your degree was key? It was like one of those critical degrees.
Yeah.
And then 5 years down the line, artificial intelligence has come through. And oh, well, you are not so important anymore. So now what?
Yeah.
You know, so there's got to be an element of passion as well. Are you passionate about what you're studying? So that whether or not you're making the 5 million or the 10 million, there's something else that's still driving you. Otherwise, if your drive is purely financial, you'll find that you may not get fulfilled as you enter the workspace. So yeah, passion, skills are important. And also, like you're saying, that you've got to master how you can make that much money. I think important to note is also how you differentiate yourself.
Yeah.
I think if you've been following, I think the Chartered Accountants, there's always this tagline, difference maker. You know? So how are you differentiating yourself from the next person?
Yeah.
Because there are so many graduates and there are so many. So in our case, Chartered Accountants, right?
Yeah.
But what makes you different from the next person? Why should they opt for you and not the next person? So I think all those things are crucial in making sure that you build yourself up in a manner that helps you, you know, earn as much as is possible within the market.
And thank you for raising that, Sibongile, because it takes me back, because we're looking at people who are going into Varsity. And I'm looking at the element that says maybe perchance, and you spoke about passion. And as you're talking about passion, I almost said in my mind, I said, but passion doesn't put food on the table. But anyway, it's a discussion for another day.
Well, true, it doesn't.
But that's a topic for another day. But I think
absolutely.
I think there's a serious level of truth in what you're saying, because I remember in my first year looking at people who were in a certain class, and you could tell that these people were just not cut out for this. These people were just in there because they thought it would open a door and an opportunity, or this was the last option. And I think for me, there's also a moment of reflection within your first year. There's to say, have I chosen the right thing? Believe me, I spent 3 years in one line of study. After 3 years, I changed. I was like, no, man, this is not me. And I wish I had done it in the first year. And I wish I had more knowledge and chosen something that was aligned, as you rightly say, to my passion, to my skill set, to who God made me to be. And I think the moment of reflection for me is quite key for some of these people who are in varsity.
So I think, you know, that's where high schools also come into the picture to say, you know, to avoid, for instance, like your experience, it could have been avoided, right?
Yes.
But how so? Perhaps this is where we are seeing high schools and universities should form some sort of partnerships, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have things such as career guidance, just to help high school students, you know, choose degrees that are well aligned with who they are well aligned with what it is that they're passionate about. Because I think more often than not, it's all about, you know, what degree will get me the most money? Like, it's always about money. It's always about the money. So you'll find that most of us then choose these degrees thinking, I'll make lots of money. But then, you know, in second semester, you're thinking, and you're in first year, this is not what I like to make. And now all of a sudden, you don't picture yourself, you know, doing this for the rest of your life. And now you have to change, you know. And in your case, I suppose it's unfortunate that you changed after 3 years.
Yeah.
But it's good that you at least got to that realization and you were able to change and follow your passion or follow what you believe or you would be better suited for you. So I think there's a way of bridging that gap. Career guidance becomes key. And maybe universities should also, you know, make it their responsibility, you know, to inform, to go out there into the schools and say, guys, this is what we have, and these are the possible professions. That way, at least students begin to think about their future, and they make better decisions.
And the other thing there, thank you very much for that, Spongile. And the other thing that I also take note of is, people don't realize how close they are to adulthood once you get into varsity, in the sense that there's a lot of people who get to varsity and still see themselves as children. And they forget that they're just 4 years away from adulthood, in the sense that you are 4 or 5 years away from getting into the workspace, taking care of yourself, paying your own bills. And this is what becomes a challenge for most people. They go through varsity seeing themselves as children, and they don't take responsibility for their own journey. And there's this element that says, maybe I need to be pushed. I need to be, given a shove in the back for me to go forward. There's no motivation. There's no drive. There's no thought process that says, I'm just a few years away from being classified as a financially independent adult. Right now, I'm an adult who relies on another adult because I don't have the means as yet financially. So that thinking to say, I need to up my game, I need to up my socks because it's just a few years away.
So you know what the thing about it is, and you've got to really, you've got to set your mind in a particular direction. Because if you think about it, Tammy, there is no way a university can try and motivate every single student.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have time for that.
No.
So you've got to get there and do what you are there for. Like, I think at the back of your mind, you always have to keep reminding yourself that you are here to attain your degree,
yeah.
Right? So whatever it is that you're doing, it's got to be what? Focused on that end goal. You've got to motivate yourself. No one is going to come and motivate you. You know, you've got to pull up those socks. No one is going to come and pull up those socks for you.
Yeah.
Yes, you may fall. You may fail a test. You may fail an exam. It's okay, and it's part of the journey. But what's more important is how you respond to those failures. Are you going to fall and, you know, you remain on the ground, or you're going to pick yourself up? So, you know, those challenges will come. But it's now your responsibility to motivate yourself enough to be able to get up and get to the end goal. Because, yes, adulthood is knocking, and it comes quicker than anticipated. It comes quicker than anticipated. And all of a sudden, now you have to pay your own electricity bill. You have to pay your own water bill, do your own groceries, you know. And only then do you start realizing, no. Yeah, it's tough being a parent, or it's tough being an adult, eh? Because when you're at home, you take things for granted. You don't realize that, yeah, everything comes at a cost. The minute you switch on the lights, it's a cost. The minute you squeeze that toothpaste, it's a cost. You know, if you run the tub, it's a cost. Everything has a cost element. And you only realize that when you're now out there in your own space and in your own world.
But why do accountants have to be like this? Now you've just spoiled my like, huh? Squeezing a toothpaste, I'll be thinking cost now. Mara, accountants, water. Hey, Mara, these accountants, they can take fun out of life.
Everything, nothing is for free.
but
I remember growing up, you know, now that you just reminded me. I remember growing up, my grandfather would tell you, if you're not in the room, switch off the light, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't get that. Oh, I think about this guy, you know, does it really matter? Is it that significant?
Yeah.
But now I understand it. Nothing is for free.
Yeah.
You know, when that light is on, it's a cost.
Wow.
And so he was right. But at that time, I just didn't understand it, you know. Yeah, so nothing is for free.
And to those first years, imini leo years, it's coming, that afternoon where you will be saying, switch off that light. But we just want to say thank you, Sibongile. Any last words to those that are going to university next year for the first time? Any words of encouragement that will keep them true to what they want from a varsity?
So I think for me, the key thing is that, number one, just know why you're at university, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that keeps you in check. No, I'm here to get my degree. Yes, you can engage in other activities along the way, but the primary reason of being in that institution is to get your degree. Exercise self-discipline. You know, it's important to be self-disciplined. You're away from home. Mm-hmm. There's just so many people around you. Some, yes, are good. Some are not so good. So again, be responsible in your interactions. Know where to draw the line. Know your boundaries. Set your boundaries, okay?
Mm.
And, you know, I think at the end of the day, primarily because I am a Christian myself, is to say, you know, ask God to just guide you along the university journey. Let him be the center of that journey, you know? Mm. I think for me, that's really the most important part of it all, to say, allow God to help you along your way, specifically when it comes to making decisions. You know, you find yourself in a catch-22, and you may need to make important decisions along the way. And that's where I think, you know, God comes in. So yeah, those are my last words. And for those that are going to university next year, all the best. Whatever you do, like my lecturer used to say, keep your head above the water. Do not drown.
And to the boys, stay away from girls. To the girls, stay away from girls. Boys, focus on your studies. That time is coming.
there's enough.
There's enough time. Well, Sibongile, we just want to say thank you for coming through to the Adventist World Radio. That was Sibongile, former education director at the Institute of Chartered Accountants of Zimbabwe. And she gave us her thoughts around what it means to go to university first year, what you can do to protect yourself from falling through that chasm, that big pit that many fall into in the first year. Church still continues right here on the Valley of Praise. Don't go away. We'll be right back.